how often do you go outside and just look up in the evening or in the middle of the night or in the early morning and you look at the nighttime sky? Now, granted, it's easier to do that out in the countryside, out here at Augsburg, and maybe not quite as easy to do at Vandalia, but I can tell you for a fact at St. Louis, you can see some stars, but you don't see the full glory that they have when you're out here in the middle of the night, and you can see them in their glory. Now, granted, some nights you can go outside, and it will be just pitch black out. I've had several of you recount to me that one of your previous pastors, or maybe a couple of them, had to crawl on hands and knees back to the parsonage because it was just so dark out and you didn't have the marquee. And if you didn't have the marquee, your current pastor would have had to do that some of those nights too. But that's not what I'm referring to. I'm referring to the nights that you can see the stars. Do you ever just go out and look up? Behold their rays of beauty. They're shining, and see all the constellations that are out there. Do you ever stop and think that those are the same constellations that have been in the northern hemisphere since the creation? Those are the same stars and constellations that were above people living in the northern hemisphere ever since the creation. So, no matter what time in history before now, if they lived in the northern hemisphere, they probably saw many of the same stars and constellations that you see now. And those same stars and constellations will continue to be in the northern hemisphere until the end of the world comes. With those stars, you get a glimpse of eternity. They surpass us in length of time. People have passed away and been born, and they have still been up there shining in the night sky. Yet, Jesus says in our gospel text that these stars will have an end, and so they're not quite an accurate picture of eternity because they do have an end. But God's word does not have an end. Eternity does not have an end. In our Old Testament text for today, Daniel wrote not only of the bright shining stars, but also of eternity and the end times. Even though he was writing to those who lived before the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, much of what he said this morning applies to times after Jesus' coming, with the end times. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as has never been since there was a nation till that time. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, take heart to the prophet Daniel's words. He's not referring to the events of Friday night. Yes, that was a tragedy. But as I was telling the children a few minutes ago, whether it be that attack or another war or another rumor of war to which you're thinking, those are only the beginning of birth pains. They say that there will be, or Daniel writes that there will be signs that will take place in the heavens, and there will be a trouble as such as never been since that there was a nation till that time. In other words, it will be a time worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. A time worse than right before the flood. A time worse than we can ever probably imagine. Yet the scriptures do not tell us exactly when that end will come. Consider what you think is the worst time in history. What was the worst part of it? How many lives were lost? How many families suffered as a result of those lives lost? Did it affect just one country or a few countries? Or perhaps it affected the whole world as we know it. Now consider, were the heavens, the suns and the other planets, the other stars, were they affected by that event? That is what God says through the scriptures is coming. A time of trouble so great that it will affect not only earth, but to the very reaches of the universe, beyond the capacity of our current technology to see. Yes, beyond the capacity of our current technology to see. We can see very far into the universe, but we don't yet see the end of it, at least not that we're aware of. But all of that will be affected when it is the end. Daniel continues prophesying, "But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book." Which book is he referring to? Is he referring to church membership books? No, because he says the book, singular. So he must be referring then to God's book of life. And yes, many of the names written in the book of church memberships are also in God's book of life by God's grace. But some of their own choice will fall away. What does this mean? Aren't Lutherans all about justification by grace through faith alone? Well, to put it shortly, yes, we are saved by justification by grace through faith alone. Yet those who are faithful in faith, as a star by its very nature, does shine. Just keep pondering the words of our text for this morning. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what is it that makes you wise unto salvation, if it's not the gospel? Back in Genesis, Adam and Eve were wise even before they ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They already had knowledge. And yet they coveted and partook of the fruit that they had been commanded not to partake of. And they lost that knowledge. They lost the image of God. They lost their righteousness, their rightness with God. And that's why God promised to send His wisdom to the world. Jesus Himself said that wisdom is justified by her deeds. And Paul wrote to the Corinthians that Jesus became to us wisdom from God. Jesus suffering and death on the cross, as promised even there in Genesis chapter 3, would restore to those who believe the beginning of true wisdom. As it says in the book of Proverbs, the beginning of true wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Consider what you think of as wisdom and how it is applied. Is it knowledge of skills, how to do things? Is it knowledge of others, having brotherly love for those around you? As is often demonstrated next month at Christmas time. Or is it even knowledge of how to love one another as family? Yet the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Or at least so wrote the wisest man in all of history. You cannot have true wisdom if you do not have faith. So if that is the case, how do those who work on Sunday mornings or Saturday nights, or both, expect to have true knowledge of how to love and serve their families and neighbors if they never come and hear the Word of God? Those other loves are good, but they derive from the love of the Lord. If you place anything before the Lord, you break the first commandment and do not demonstrate the shining of the star of one who believes. Yet wisdom is automatically shown by those who believe, just as a star cannot do anything other than shine. With faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His death and resurrection in your place for your sins, given to you by the Holy Spirit, that same Spirit will create in you a new heart, a heart that does shine, a heart that shines by loving your neighbor, loving your family, and coming and hearing and eagerly hearing God's word for you, and receiving His gifts, His Son's body and blood for you at the altar of the sacrament. That new heart will shine and will continue to shine forever and ever. Just take another look at verse 2 of our text. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what else can this mean other than that what Jesus Himself said at the end of our gospel text? The one who endures to the end will be saved. And what can that mean other than that the one who endures in the faith to the end will be saved? It is not once saved, always saved, as though there were no way to fall away from faith. We were saved once at the cross of Calvary. That's what the writer of Hebrews has been talking about the last couple weeks. We don't have to continually sacrifice Jesus over and over again on the altar. It was a once-for-all sacrifice. But we can fall away from it. We dare not think that we can continue in sin once we have come to believe. Consider what faith is. Is it something that you can hear once and never again? If so, why do we sing and pray that God would take not His Holy Spirit from us, but restore to us a true heart repeatedly, every Sunday, if not more? Belief is trusting in God's forgiveness of sins and receiving it with open and willing hands through the Spirit of God granted you at your baptism, and who continues to work in you as you hear His word proclaimed and as you receive His gifts, His Son's body and blood, at the sacrament of the altar. Unbelief, then, is turning from the wisdom of God. Yet when you see Christ return, or when you sleep in the dust of the earth and shall awake, and you enter with Christ into that new heaven and new earth, the Spirit in you will have you confess that it was not by your own actions that you were there. It is by Christ's actions, by what Christ has done on the cross of Calvary. And God's Spirit will keep you in the one true faith to everlasting life, in and through and because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary for you. In Jesus' name, amen.